Fahid, who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Fahid maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Fahid's a champion. Arctic Forest.
Never in any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins trade for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
Hello and welcome along to week 5 of our Countdown to Cheltenham series. Time flies when you're having fun, and I'm joined once again by Messrs Walsh and Hickey. Last week we were chatting about the Triumph and the Paddy Power Stairs Hurdle, but this week we're on to two of the main events at the 2021 Cheltenham Festival. It is the Champion Hurdle and the Cheltenham Gold Cup, getting the From the Horse's Mouth treatment this week. And we're going to get the exclusive thoughts of two of the great minds, Mr. Frank Hickey and Ruby Walsh. Frank, how are things? You've for people listening, decided to have a wash and put on a shirt, which is impressive for you.
You just completely froze there, Tom, so I didn't hear anything.
It's perfect.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. You completely fraud. Yeah, that is the best answer I have ever seen to someone making an accusation like that.
Well, first of all, I just caught the end of having a wash. I'm kind of OCD, Tom, and I'm one of these people who overwashes probably. So that's a false accusation. And putting on a shirt, true. I've worn very little in. You know, I've worn very little when it comes to actual pants or trousers and shirts the past year. So any opportunity I get now, it's like, geez, I'll try one of these shirts. You know, I have about 40 of them, and I'd say I've worn them for about 12 hours in total for the last year.
If this is shit.
I'll tell you, I might have 40 of them. I'd say about 10 of them fit, Ruby. The diet started today. No more joint.
I know how you feel, Frank. I know how you feel.
To go away, not a pick on you.
Righto, before we all start comparing waist sizes, let's talk about what we're here to talk about this week. And Ruby, we're looking ahead to two of the major races at the Cheltenham Festival, the Champion Hurdle and the Gold Cup. As a rider, is that pressure and anticipation and excitement ramped up that extra few notches when you're going down to the start for one of those big championship races?
I don't think so, Tom. I think as a whole, pressure-wise, Cheltenham, it tends to be the meeting rather than individual races. Well, it was for me anyway, but I was probably in a lucky enough position whereby I was busy. So once it started, that was kind of the end of the anticipation or the pressure as such. The couple of days beforehand always seemed to be more tense than the actual days of the racing. So once it started, I think you were just working then and in a constant bubble. And you didn't tend to notice that you were going out in the Champion Hurdle or out in the Gold Cup or the Queen Mother or the Stairs Hurdle for that matter. It just tended to be before the first race each day as you waited for it to start. And once it started, it just seemed to roll on and on.
And Frank, maybe a similar question from a trading point of view, would, given these races are kind of so popular and they maybe transcend racing and they are the races that the average Joe will have a bet on, would it be kind of a little bit more satisfying for the traders to maybe get the championship races right and just be able to kind of secure that bit of turnover and margin?
Yeah, look, obviously, the likes of the Gold Cup, the Champion Hurdle, be very much high turnover races. And if you get them right, it gives you a much better chance of having a successful week. And if you get them wrong, you're kind of facing an uphill battle. Like Gold Cup day is probably the biggest turnover day of the week. And if you nail that, you're going to be happy. Like, you know, it can be tricky. Like last year, I think we did okay with Alvin Ford and keeping him on side. But then on the flip side of it, I would have been very keen to take on Epitant last year, the Champion Hurdle, and she bolted up. So, yeah. You know, without a trading room this year, it'll be a different feel because I suppose you have that sort of, euphoria when things go your way and sort of depression when things go against you. You know, in a group, might be a bit different this year, but I suppose nothing will ever match when Tiger Roll won his first Gold Cup, or first Grand National, sorry. That was the ultimate, like, getting your ace wrong and getting our pants pulled down. So hopefully we won't have anything like that at this year's Cheltenham Festival.
Interesting. Righto, let's get down to business and take a look at the champion hurdle in its entirety. Ruby, it was a tough nut to crack for you for a while. You eventually got the job done in 2011 with a good little horse called Hurricane Fly, who managed to win it again in 2013. Let's talk about traits that you need to be a top-class champion hurdler. What do you need? Do you need stamina? Do you need a little bit of pace as well? Do you need to be just the complete package?
Complete package. I don't think, look, we it's trotted out every now and then. This is the worst champion hurdle since whenever, and this one is worse than that one. But to be honest, when you get to the start, I don't think I ever rode in a bad one. It might be of the standard of horses that are in it, but they're always competitive. And yeah, you would get certain horses that are way above the opposition. The likes of an Istabrak, who stood out for me always, was too good for the opposition. But generally, they're hard races, they're fast races, and you need a horse with a lot of pace. And people get confused between pace and speed. But you can get a horse with speed who's able to quicken up, but can they actually go the pace of a champion hurdle? You need to be able to jump and go. Very few horses come from a long way back. They tend to be close enough towards the front end and pace. They can jump, they stay, and they're able to maintain a very high cruising speed.
And I suppose, Ruby, a big part of why Hurricane Fly was so popular, a willing partner is a big help as well, and a good attitude and being tough and staying.
But that's vital in any racehorse, Tom. I don't think that just comes in a champion hurdler. That is vital in all good racehorses, that they have that attitude and that want to race and to compete as well. And yeah, Hurricane Fly was unique. Fahim is a different ball game, I suppose. He won a steadily run champion hurdle and had a serious turn of foot off the front to win it, whereas Annie Power just jumped and rocked along and went a really strong gallop and outstayed the opposition. So, you know, I rode lucky enough to win four of them, three different horses, and they were all uniquely brilliant in their own way.
Frank, let's talk about the 2021 champion hurdle non-runner money back market. Honeysuckle 9-4, Epidant 11-4, Silver Streak 9-1, Concertista 10s, Charges 10s, along with Aspire Tower, Abracadabras is 12-1, Song for Someone 16s, with Goshen San Ra is 20s, along with Bouverdere 25-1, and Bigger the Rest. In terms of liabilities, Frank, I suppose, well, let's talk about the season to date, first and foremost, from your perspective and from kind of trading this book. Epitant getting beaten at Christmas kind of blows the whole thing open, and then Sharjah arrives on the scene and maybe things starting to change a little bit. A lot of talk about St. Ra in the early part of the season as being the one for the champion hurdle. Bouverdere, obviously a question mark given his injury. It's been a funny enough year in terms of flip-flopping in the market, I'd say, has it?
Has a bit, but then when you look at our books, like in our Antipost book, Goshen is the big loser. Like, most of that damage would have been done pre the international hurdle at Cheltenham. And the other one then is Epitant. Again, that's going back to kind of, you know, around Christmas time and before. So you're kind of saying that, you know, people were looking at it going, Goshen was the new kid on the block that potentially could dethrone Epitant. And then you had a big cohort of customers who thought Epitant would be tough to beat. Now, things have obviously changed hugely since Christmas, with Epitant getting beaten at Kempton. As you said, you know, Honeysuckle on is certainly running in the champion hurdle now, Sharjah winning. So it's a very different look now. And our non-runner money back book, the two big losers there are Honeysuckle and Bouverdere. Obviously, the non-runner money back concession really made backing Honeysuckle and inviting betting prospects before she won at the Dublin Racing Festival, because you knew that if she won, I think she was between 7 and 6 to 1 in the week leading up to it. If she won, you knew that you were going to be sitting on a lovely docket. And if she got beaten, she was almost certainly not going to run the champion hurdle. So it was almost like a risk-free bet, really. And then Bouverdere, I think people were backing him pre-Haydock in his return. He was disappointed there. I wouldn't be overly fearful about that liability. But the Honeysuckle one, yeah, that one now would be a little bit more worrying.
will the market just boil down to the two mares now, the closer we get to the day, Frank, do you think?
I think it will. I think people look at this and go, one of the two of them will win. Personally, looking at it, I think Honeysuckle should and will go off clear favourites. I think just with a little bit of, I suppose people analyse last year's champion hurdle and try and pick holes in it. Like, Sharjah is good on a going day. Darby Star hasn't done a whole pile for the form. And then Honeysuckle's unbeaten. She's put up probably her most impressive win to date last time out, and Epiton's coming in off the back end, beating the Kenton. So I think as we get closer, if they both arrive fit and healthy, I can just see Honeysuckle tightening up. And I'd be surprised if she goes off any bigger than what she is. I could see her going off close to 7-4.
Ruby, talk to us a little bit about Honeysuckle and the mare that she is kind of becoming and very much is. It's not necessarily always about winning flash, it's about winning ugly as well, and she just seems to just get it done every single time.
Yeah, but I'd be inclining to agree with the last one of the statements Frank made there. Arguably, she was better in Leopardstown the last day than she has been at any stage in her career. Now, maybe her first Hatton's Grace victory, where she beat Bacardi's by a long way, was a pretty dominant display as well. But I could understand when Connections left Leopardstown in 2020 why they went to the Mayor's Hurdle and not the Champion Hurdle. Getting back up to beat Petty Mush War most certainly didn't scream to me that you're going to win the Champion Hurdle. But when you watched her this year, 2021, in Leopardstown, winning the Irish Champion Hurdle and absolutely trouncing Abacadabra, San Roy, Sharjah, Sadlier, Petit Mouchoir, if you own her trainer, rider, you can see why you would be thinking, yeah, let's have a go at the Champion Hurdle. And I think she'd be a dead straightforward mare to ride in that race. She'll always have the £7 allowance that she's entitled to, which I believe in and think is the right thing. And she's a straightforward ride. Rachel Blackmore will be able to line her up second or third hurdle out from the inside, go forward on her. If somebody wants to go really fast, she'll get an ideal lead in second place. If nobody wants to go, she knows she can rock along. Her jumping has improved considerably. She was much lower, much slicker at Leopardstown than she ever has, but she ever was in the past, a fraction high at the second. And when the race was all over and Rachel had a pop the last, she was a fraction slow. But I think during the race, she jumped exceptionally well. She'd go along in the first couple. We know she gets 2.5. She showed in Leopardstown she has terrific pace. Yeah, I was, before Christmas, would have been Epitant. But since Leopardstown, the Irish Champion Hurdle, I would be all Honeysuckle.
And Ruby, would you say Honeysuckle would need a truly run race with plenty of pace? And like it's must be 1-10 that you're going to get a truly run Champion Hurdle, all right, but she wants that plenty of pace anyway, doesn't she? She wants just to be brought along.
She does, but that's not a certainty. Obviously, if you had Goshen in the field, he would be guaranteed it, because in all likelihood, he would jump and go. But outside of Goshen, I mean, the International Hurdle, Goshen didn't really go. It wasn't that strongly run a race. There can be at times, Tom, a lot of pace in the Champion Hurdle, but when Fahim won his first Champion Hurdle, he only made the running because nobody else wanted it. Just because you have a championship race, it doesn't guarantee you get pace. Now, maybe they will stick to the same tactics with Silver Streak that they used in the Christmas Hurdle, riding him more prominently. Maybe he'd be the one to jump and go. But I think doing that at Cheltenham, or doing it at Kempton and doing it at Cheltenham, are two different ball games. And obviously Not So Sleepy's in there as well. We know he likes to get on with things, providing he gets away. But, you know, if it's a standing start or a messy start, he got left in two races last year. So yeah, look, if Not So Sleepy happened to get away first time and they stick to the same tactics with Silver Streak, that could guarantee the pace Honeysuckle would like. But if it's not there, I would have full faith in Rachel Blackmore going and making the gallop she will need. She won't be afraid to do it.
Frank, we've heard plenty about Honeysuckle now. Epitant, after that bad run at Christmas, would you be willing to forgive that? Is it just maybe too bad to be true? Or is she now an unreliable mare in the Champion Hurdle?
You can always forgive one bad day out. Like, if you couldn't, my marriage would probably be in trouble, Tom. But I don't think it was as bad as people think. I think the reason they're looking at it going, oh, Silver Streak is limited. But what you have to think with Silver Streak is he's been running consistently without being top class on ground that probably isn't suitable for him on soft ground or even more testing. He wants good grounds. And that was the first time in a grade one that he actually got proper good to soft ground. Or you know, he probably preferred good with no soft at all. And he just ran really, really well. Like, it was a little bit disappointing from her. And the ground shouldn't have been an excuse. But, like, if you go back to last year, she couldn't have been any more dominant when she won the Christmas hurdle and the champion hurdle. And, like, I can see her bouncing back and getting back to her best. Whether that best would be good enough to win this year's champion hurdle, I'd have my suspicions it wouldn't be. But you can definitely forgive her run, and I wouldn't put anyone off who's a fan of her backing her again. But I do think she'll be a little bit of a bigger price closer to the time.
Is there value outside the top two, Frank? Is there a bet outside those two mares?
I think there's only one. We're on about pace. I think there's one horse absolutely guaranteed to kick on. That's Aspire Tower. Like, if you go back to last year, I think at the Triumph Hurdle, he was miles below his best. I'm not sure, was it a result of the fall he had at Leopardstown prior to that? But he jumped, he pulled for the first, until the first two hurdles were jumped. He jumped very sloppily. And up until he fell at Leopardstown, he'd been a really slick jumper. I just thought it was a really poor performance for him, but I still thought he showed off a lot of guts to finish second. Now, they went too hard that day. I think his finishing speed was about 93%. They went really hard, and he was staying on again at the second. So I think he's more of a kind of, I think he's more of a staying two-miler. But like his form this year, like if you even go back to his hurdles debut last year when he beat C. Ducker and Wolf Prince, he absolutely trounced them. And their two horses now rate around 135, and he beat them out the gate by 13 lengths. Like, he's won a grade two, the Knight Frank Juvenile Hurdle, by a wide margin. And I just think the fall took it out of him and probably knocked the edge off him for Cheltenham last year. And I like the fact that they haven't had a run since Christmas with him, are going to go to Cheltenham fresh. His form this year has been very good. Like, he's obviously won impressively up at Down Royal in the grade two WKD Hurdle, beating Abracadabra and Jason the Militant. Now, he was getting weight that day, being a four-year-old, and he was second to Sharjah at Leopardstown, and he was getting £3 that day. Now, I loved the way he stayed on again after the last hurdle. Sharjah obviously did have a bit of pace, but he still put distance between him and the rest from the back of the last. And we know that when Sharjah's on a going day at Leopardstown, he's nearly unbeatable. So I just think he's a five-year-old now. He's improving. And I like the fact they put him away. And I think if you're looking for an each-way bet, he's the only option for me each-way. He'll be up there prominent. His jumping was much better at Leopardstown at Christmas. It could be a bit better. He still made a bit of a mistake in the third last and second last. But he's the one with the potential in there to improve. And while he has a difficult task to beat the two mares, I think he's the only one I would even consider backing outside of him.
Ruby, talk to us about Willie Mullins' challenge here. Sharjah has, as Frank says, on his day at Leopardstown, is an excellent, excellent horse. San Ra, will he go? He's been disappointing in his couple of runs after Christmas. Saldier, anything else? James de Burley is another horse I see there.
Yeah, and like, just to back Frank up there, I mean, Aspire Tower, physically, to look at him, is a horse who could have improved since we last saw him at Christmas. He's a giant of a five-year-old now. So physically, there's no reason he can't be a better horse in March than he was at Christmas. And as for Willie's, yeah, look, Sharjah is what he is. And Frank has alluded to it there, about how good he is on dry ground at Leopardstown. So he is pretty ground-dependent. I think if it's very soft on the first day at Cheltenham, it'll play against Sharjah, but if it drives up, he'd have a chance. Saldier's been disappointing. He's a lot to prove. His two runs this year haven't been good enough. San Raw was very good early in the season, but seems to have regressed. He'll have to come back to his very best. And James de Burley is a very exciting horse. He comes from France with a huge reputation. He won there last October when he won a grade three hurdle, beating horses I didn't hear of, but he had a good run when he was second. Sorry about opening the wrong form again. When he was second in November, behind the same horse he's beaten him, Moisey High, or whatever his name is. But I know he's a horse that caught Willie's eye somewhere along the way, because Willie was talking about him a long time before he ever got him. And he came from Robert Colley. I rode him during the week. He's a lovely looking horse. I suppose age is probably against him. He's only a five-year-old. And five-year-olds wouldn't have an outstanding record in the champion hurdle. he has form over further. He's a nice horse to look at. He's settled in well. And the champion hurdle is his aim. How good he is, well, I'm afraid, if you can read French form, your opinion is as strong as mine.
Ruby, talk to us. Are you taking anything, any of the other Irish runners seriously in this year's champion hurdle? Abracadabra, Jason the Militant, anything else?
Course, I think Abracadabra could be placed if he's ridden that way. Doesn't take part and passes tired horses. He could most certainly be placed. You know, I'd back him to be placed rather than even each way. I don't see him winning the race, but I think Honeysuckle, I think it's the two mares, Honeysuckle the Epitant. I wouldn't mind to go on either, but I think they are definitely the strongest horses in the race. Maybe Abacadabra to be placed, and I think the rest have to improve a bit to get up to the filly standard.
Frank, anything else in the UK that could maybe give them a glimmer of hope? Bouverdaire, are we putting a line through him completely, or what do you think?
I think you'd have to. Like, he had 14-month absence prior to his defeat at Haydock. I didn't take too many positives out of that run, beaten by Navajo Pass. Yeah, I think you'd be letting your heart rule your head there, I think. And he's pushing on now as well. I couldn't have him. Song for Someone is an improver. Won his last three starts, including a grade two, the Carl Hurl at Ascot. That was over 2 miles, three though. And he then won the international hurdle at Cheltenham when he was conceding 2 pounds of silver streak, just hanging on. I do think he wants testing ground to be seen his very best. If the ground came up good to soft, I could see him skipping it and maybe going to entry for the 2.5 mile race. I'm not sure he would have the pace to deal with the likes of Honeysuckle and Lepitant on better ground. Silver Streak would be interesting if the ground comes up, you know, good to soft. Obviously, career best the last day at Kempton. He's finished sixth and third in the last two renewals of the champion hurdle. He shouldn't be good enough, but maybe they'll try and use the same tactics and bounce out prominent. But I think he's very ground dependent. I think even if it came up going to softer plays, it's good to be hoping for with him. Gotten is the one that we just don't know. His triumph, like when you go back to the triumph, it's worked out reasonably well when you look at it. You obviously have Aspire Tower, who was second, winning the WKD hurdle and finishing second in a grade one. Almond Kynes won a grade one over fences. Navajo Pass won a grade two, beating Bouverdaire. The seventh, Away from the Sea, won a nice handicap at Leopardstown of 133 at the Dublin Racing Festival. And Hookup was 11th. Like, she was lacking experience going to that, but she was, I thought, rather cracker in the grade one Chanel Farm and Novice Hurdle. So it might have been a decent enough renewal. Now, the problem with Goshen is he's just been really flat since. On both starts on the flat, I thought he ran below himself and he just showed nothing in the international hurdles. So you'd need to see him run a prep and win. Potentially maybe he could go to Wincanton. Isn't the elite hurdle, is that it? Or not the elite, I can't remember what it is, but there's a race at Wincanton potentially that maybe he could prep in, but he'd need to prep before. You'd even consider backing him. But if he did have a run between now and Cheltenham and won, you know, he would be interesting. But he's an awful lot to prove now. I think the UK challenge, I'd be surprised if one of them win. I think it's Bar Epitant. Like, I think the Irish are the only Bar Epitant. It's either the Irish or Epitant will win the champion hurdle.
Righto, decision time. I want the winner of this year's champion hurdle and one to fill the frame at a price. Frank Hickey.
Honeysuckle should be short. It should be Claire Favre. She's obviously the most likely winner. I just think Aspire Tower's got a great chance of hitting the frame. If I was looking for a bet now, I'd probably chance him. I don't think he'll shorten up that much, so I don't really know if there's that much, you know, is there that much need to play now? You could probably wait for the day and you'll probably get the same price, if not bigger, and potentially it's looking like it could be quite a big fee and you might even get four places. So, yeah, Aspire Tower each way would be the one for me, but I do think I definitely have Honeysuckle over Epitant.
Didn't think I would be going against Epitant, but what I saw in Leopardstown, I would be with Honeysuckle. And if I'm looking for something each way, you know, the more you look at it, Tom, and you look at the race, Aspire Tower looks like he'll go forward. You would have thought Silver Streak, after winning that way, would go forward. You throw in maybe Goshen and Not So Sleepy. This could be a really strong pace. So I'm looking for something that's going to sit off that. Won't be winning the race, but it's going to pick up all the pieces when these horses get tired and start to run finishing fractions that Frank goes on about. Finish, like, if you have a horse in front at a finishing speed of 93%, but you've one coming from off the back with a finishing speed of 107 or 8%, they're going to pass an awful lot of horses. They won't win the race, but they can run into a place, and that would be the likes of a Sharjah coming from way off the pace, or Abracadabra. Either or would be my bet to be placed. Not each way. I don't see either of them winning a champion hurdle, but either or could be placed.
Righto, that is the champion hurdle in the can. Let's move on to the Gold Cup.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18plus, begambleaware.org.
Ruby, I think it's fair to say that your record in the Cheltenham Gold Cup is nothing short of outstanding. But for a lot of people, I'd say the 2007-2008 season will stand out as a kind of a memorable season. You had a very difficult decision to make, but they are what kind of defines like a lot of high-profile jockeys' careers, aren't they? Those hard decisions, and sometimes you get them wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I suppose. I think the fact I was injured, Tom, early in the year probably didn't help either. I didn't get to ride Denman and the Hennessy. I only watched it. I was back for Christmas, both one at King George, one the Lexus, and which is the Savills Chase now. And yeah, in my mind, they were hard to split. Now, it's like any horse race, if Watts turns up on the day, Denman turned up in incredible form on Gold Cup day, whereas Kato Starr never landed a blow. And, you know, everyone will have their own opinion, but to me, if Kato had been able to lie up and Denman outstayed him, I'd have said Kato ran his race. Because 12 months earlier, 14 months before that, Kato Starr won at Tingle Creek. He lined up in the Gold Cup and he couldn't even keep up with Denman. There was no way Denman was going faster than the horse that had gone into Tingle Creek. So for whatever reason, Kato just didn't turn up. And it was his pure class. And you spoke about Hurricane Fly having a will and an attitude. That was the only reason Kato Starr even finished second that year. Was it because of his class and his attitude. Denman was brilliant on the day, but Kato didn't turn up. And look, that's what happens when you're making decisions. They were two wonderful horses. I mean, they came back a couple of times. Kato went back the following year, beat Denman. Then they both got beaten the year after. But like, they were two incredible horses. They were magic horses. And they were a pleasure to have anything to do it.
Coming back the following year, as you mentioned, was that particularly satisfying? Did you give yourself an extra little fist pump, a punch of the air to yourself after that? Just maybe were you kicking yourself after the year before and to have faith with Kato Starr and to come back and get the job done by 13 lengths the following year must have been a nice little pat on the back.
Yeah, I don't think it was a pat on the back, and it most certainly wasn't revenge, because they were both in the 1 yard, and I was probably disappointed with myself in 2008 that I could have been as far out, gotten it so wrong. But look, the following year it swung around by 20 odd lengths. So I was delighted to win a second Gold Cup. I mean, it's the biggest race of the year. It's the Cheltenham Gold Cup. But I don't think I gave myself an extra pat in the back because I'd stuck with Kato Starr and he'd gone and won that one. It was brilliant to be on his back. And he was some racehorse. I mean, even when he came back to win a fifth King George and to come back and win that Betfair Chase that year, he was like, I don't know, he was a horse that I loved anyway.
Even when you say that out loud, a fifth King George is fucking ridiculous, really, even though it's not that long ago. But when you say it out loud, it's ridiculous.
And you think about some of the races he had, Tom, and you think about some of the falls he took and some of the hard races he had, like the race he had behind Denman. I mean, flat to the boards, not on his A game, ran himself into the ground in the Gold Cup and still come back the following year. He was an incredible athlete. That's what he was.
Can I ask one question, Ruby? Just, this is pure by chance. I was on Twitter the other day and I saw a video of that Denman, when Denman beat Kato Gold Cup, and Tomo asking you after the race, did you choose wrong? I just want to know, how do you keep your cool in that situation where, like, someone's asked an absolute stupid question and you're obviously full of emotion after a race like that, whether it be disappointment or, you know, whatever. But like, how do you keep your cool?
I don't think I kept my cool, did I?
I thought it was a relatively measured response considering the circumstances.
Yeah, look, I suppose you can see both sides, but I don't know, but look, there is that people will argue that you're in the public eye, you are expected to come out and talk on those occasions, but it's rarely you see that many losing players doing interviews. The captain of the losing team probably does, and he's had time to think about that during the week, and know he will have to give that interview or that speech. So I think when you've lost, jockeys are humans like all other sports people, and of course they're going to be emotional or disappointed or frustrated when they picked the wrong horse. And yeah, I don't know, maybe I probably wouldn't have asked the question because I'd have understood how disappointed the person was, but to be fair to Tomo, he was doing his job too.
Frank, the Cheltenham Gold Cup is late on Friday. People kind of maybe it's late in the week. People have either had a good week or a bad week up to that point, and maybe they're looking for another one last touch before the week is out. Is it a huge, massive race in terms of turnover and people latch onto it? Like it is just so exceptional in terms of not just in racing context, but how people, those once a year punters, we talk about the Grand National all the time, they come for the Gold Cup too, don't they?
Oh yeah, 100%. Gold Cup is huge. Like the Grand National is the one race that, you know, every non-racing fan probably has a bet on. And then if you look at the next race, it's the Gold Cup. Turnover will be huge. It's vital that we get our pricing correct, or as close to correct as we can. But it has been a relatively, you know, decent race for punters. If you go back since 2011, the last 10 renewals, the SP of the winner has been 72 favourite, 8-1, 11-4 favourite, 20-1, it's Lord Windermere, of course, 7-1, 9-4 favourite, 7-1, 5-1, 12-1, 130 favourite. So you can see we've had four winning favourites in the last 10 years and, you know, two double figure prices. So it hasn't been the most difficult race for punters to figure out. And like, yeah, like on a Friday, you have a couple of races then a little bit more tricky, like the Albert Bartlett, the Fox Hunter potentially, and a couple of the handicaps. But yeah, the Gold Cup turnover is huge, and it's potentially one where punters can latch onto something a little bit close to the front of the market, and they haven't been doing too bad recently.
What are the liabilities like now, Frank? I suppose after Album Photo won his second Gold Cup last year, and there would have been quotes straight away for the 2021 Gold Cup, has he been very popular over the last 12 months?
Nope, put him in 5-1. Not popular at all. I think people don't give him credit for what he's achieved. And I think that's reflected in our books. When you look at the Antipost book, we have a load of significant losers in it. Champ being the biggest one. Then it's followed by Top of the Game, who's obviously not going to make it, injured this season. But you have big liabilities and Absolute Tire, Dead to Work, Nelindo, Santini. And what that says to me is people are looking to take on Album Photo and don't really rate what he's achieved. And then if you look at the non-runner money back book, it's Royal Pagoy is the one people have latched onto. We saw plenty of cash at 50-1, 33 and 25. He's now just an 8-1 shot. He's a very significant loser. The other chunky liabilities in the non-runner money back book are St. Cannibalus and Santini. I don't think we have too much to worry about with the two of them, though.
Ruby, is there enough being made of what Album Photo is trying to do? I mean, I'm looking back. I literally have it here. There's Gold Miller 1-5, Cottage Drake 1-3, and Best Mate 1-3. And there's another horse there that I can't remember the name of is 1-3 as well. But like, it is potentially going to be one of the biggest achievements in the sport again. And it doesn't seem to be getting any press at all.
I'm absolutely assuming you're taking the piss at the other horse's name you can't remember.
I can't remember it. Go on.
You cannot remember Arkle's name.
Oh, Arkle, there we go. But every time I'm doing anything with you, I'm a little bit starstruck. So I was just my mind was going 90 and I couldn't remember.
In fairness, like I probably would have struggled to have gotten Cottage Drake, but I mean, like Arkle. I think we'll just move on.
Put it on my CV. Forgot Arkle's name. But is there enough being made about what Albin Foto is trying to do? It's a huge deal. Like,
it is a massive deal, and I suppose everybody has a view on it, and people see it. Everybody sees it differently, and people will bemoan the fact that we only see him 3 times a year, and people will say it twice, but it's not Albin Foto's fault that Punchestown was called off last year. He did come back to Punchestown after he won the Gold Cup and was beaten by Kenboy. He most certainly would have gone back there last season had it not been lost to the pandemic. But he turned up in Tramore again this season and he won. But people, I suppose, talk and they say like it's bad for the sport that we don't see these horses, and there's too many options and too many races for them to split up and divide. But if you're running a business and somebody comes to you and says, look, can you buy me a horse that could potentially win the Gold Cup? And you go and you buy the horse and you find a way to win the Gold Cup and fulfill the request you've been given. I think as a trainer, that's pretty good business. And Willie Mullins has found a path that works for Albin Foto, and his owners want to win the Gold Cup. So why is he going to change his responsibility, I suppose, if that's the correct word, is probably to his owners and to his clients to fulfill what they have asked him to do. And that is what he's found. Now, by doing that and by going from Tramore to the Cheltenham Gold Cup, I suppose people don't see as much of Albin Foto. Therefore, he doesn't ingrain in their mind like horses you see more of. And they haven't probably got the same affiliation for him. But that said, if he can go back and win a third Gold Cup, what's to say he won't go back and win a fourth? And if he could do that and keep going back, I mean, he's not that old. I think he won last year's Gold Cup against the run of play. It was a race that was completely not run to suit him. And people will argue Santini finished second. I think they only finished first and second because of the two jockeys on their backs realised a mile from home that they'd gone too slow for two stairs, and they set sail and turned it into a 1 mile sprint and the stairs ended up coming to the fore. But I think he won a race that went against him. Looking at this year's race and looking at the potential makeup of it with Frode on and Native River, I think it's a race that could really suit Albin Foto. I think he'll be hard to beat, and he could potentially join illustrious company and be a winner, a triple winner of a Gold Cup. And that's a hell of a training performance. It's a hell of a performance by a horse, by the rider, by everything. And I hope he does it. That's a bit of a long-winded way of coming around to answering your question, but I think there's two sides to the coin. And I think if people can look at it from both sides, they can understand both arguments.
Talk to us a little bit about the type of horse he is, Ruby. He maybe didn't shoot the lights out as a novice hurdler. He came from France after falling on his first start. What was he like when he arrived as a young horse?
I got beaten him in a maiden hurdle in Ferryhouse on his first start. Then he won in Thurles after that. Paul won on the Ferryhouse. Like, I mean, even standing in the yard, and Patrick Mullins often says it. He passed by and he was standing there, and Patrick said, if someone told you that's the dual Gold Cup winner, you'd be thinking, how? He's not that imposing an individual. He doesn't stand out from the string. He's just a normal horse. He's just another one in the lot. And he has terrific stamina. He has a great cruising speed. He's very sound. His jumping is okay, fine. Wouldn't be his strongest point. He fell in Limerick, going to win the novice chase there with David Mullins. He fell at the second last in the Brown and Advisory Novice Chase with me. You know, he was lucky at the first down the back in his first Gold Cup. He was lucky at the second last in Punchestown when Kenboy beat him. He has learned to get himself from A to B, but his jumping most certainly isn't his strongest point. But he just stays incredibly well. And that's what Gold Cup winners do, is stay.
Frank, I suppose from your side of things, and you're looking to use a phrase Ruby loves so much, is looking to get him beat. But what exactly has the best chance of doing that, do you think? Would Ap Lutard now be a contender if he stays? What about Frodon making the pace? He'll be very popular with a lot of English punters and UK punters, but is he good enough to win a Gold Cup?
Like, for, yeah, what you say about getting beat. I'm not sure he's a horse you'd be setting out to try and, as you say, get beat, or because he just doesn't catch the imagination of punters. I can see him not being overly strong in the market, and I can see, you know, people latching on to the likes of Ap Lutard, Royal Pagoy, etc. And I think he'll actually be looking at the field book on the day going, Album Photo winning would actually be a decent result for us. When you're looking at what are his main dangers, Ap Lutard obviously seemed to improve for the step up to 3 miles for the first time, or it wasn't the first time he was beaten as a novice at Punchestown. I don't think there was any real fluke about it. I mean, looking at the finishing speed percentage, and it was bang on 100. So, you know, it wasn't like they went crazy hard up in front and he just was given a more efficient ride. I do think Mellon and Kenboy got racing a fair bit out, though, and probably contributed to him winning a little bit. I think if they maybe hadn't gone so gung-ho so early, he might have struggled to pick up Kenboy. But I do think he'll stay 3.25. I'm not sure he's good enough, though, personally. Then you're looking at other ones. Champ is running in the Game Spirit at the weekend over 2 miles. Just, I don't know what Nicky is thinking. I read like he doesn't want to have a hard race, but I mean, the horse apparently has been fit most of the season. Why is he only coming out now? Like,
I think that's a good move, Frank.
I wrote
Comanche Court in a 2 mile novice chase and Nace, or 2 mile open chase and Nace, before he went down by half a length to Best Mate. I think that's a shrewd bit of training. I would be for what he's doing there.
It's probably decent for the point of not giving a hard race over 3 miles, but what I'm wondering is, like, why is he leaving it to the last minute to get a run into him in the first place? You know, I don't believe the horse had any setback through the season, so I don't know, he just could have run it 3 miles over Christmas, or, you know, even before Christmas. And again, the other thing with him is, I think at the time we thought it was a very strong RSA, with Manila Indo disappointing and Alaho, you know, disappointing on a couple of occasions. Is the race as strong as we thought? Potentially not. And I think it's a bit to prove. Then you're looking at other horses. Santine just looks a bolt. Like, it was very disappointing again at Sandow. It's a bit of a tongue-in-cheek here, but I nearly fired him in the Midlands National rather than the Gold Cup. But yeah, I think he's just really slow, and I know he ran a cracker in the race last year, but yeah, like, headgear might perk him up. But yeah, I don't know. I just think Album Photo is a better horse than him. And then you've got Last in Translation, who was third last year. He ran an absolute cracker off the back of a poor run in the King George. He's been poor again this season. You can put that down to the Tiskyard being completely out of form. They've had a few winners in the last week. Maybe they're starting to come into a bit of form now. I think he's entered in the Denman Chase the weekend. He'd need to be winning that, really, to have any chance of a Gold Cup. Decent ground, I think, is important to him. I don't think he wants two testing. But even if it came up decent ground, I'm just not sure he's good enough to win a Gold Cup either. Just to answer your question, I don't know what the danger is to Album Photo. I think probably defences.
Ruby Willie's got a couple of others in there. Obviously, Kenboy, the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup winner. Mellon could go. Burra Saint is in the betting. Will they run? What's likely to take part from Willie's?
Kenboy, Willie has said he's also in the Stairs Hurdle. He's had two disappointing runs in the Gold Cup. So I don't know, is he planning to go for the Stairs or is he going to go to the Gold Cup? Burra Saint, I can't see him. I think the Grand National Weights would be out soon, and I think that's his target. And Mellon, after watching him in the Irish Gold Cup, the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup, you would imagine running in the same colours as Album Photo, that they might split and he'd go Ryanair, to tell you the truth. So, look, it could be Album and maybe Kenboy, but I can't see too many more.
What's the thinking on Manila Indo now, Ruby? How are you seeing him?
I kind of waited a bit like Frank. I wonder just... Himself and Alaho have stepped into the Open Company in Ireland on two different occasions this winter at the same track. Alaho in the Savills Chase, he finished fourth. Manila Indo in the Paddy Power Irish Gold Cup, he finished fourth. There wasn't that much between them in last year's RSA. So is that what they are? Are they just behind the Gold Cup horses at that standard? I thought watching them in Navan, not in Navan, in Wexford, when he beat Milan Native, that, wow, there could be a challenger to Album Photo. but I'm not certain I've seen that horse again since.
Okay, decision time. The Paddy Power non-runner money back betting for the 2021 Cheltenham Gold Cup is as follows. Albin Photo is the 5-2 favourite. A Plutard is 6-1. Royal Pigalle is 8s. Champ is 10-1, along with Kemboy. Frodon is 14s, along with Lost in Translation and Santini, as well as Native River. 16-1, Manelendo. Alaho is 20s, and it's 25-1. And bigger the rest. Ruby, is it as straightforward as Album Photo for the hat trick?
I think, yeah, there's no such thing as straightforward in any horse race, but I think he is the most likely winner. And my each way fancy would be Native River. I thought he was really good in the Cotswold Chase last week. The Tizzer horses are back in form. He looked like the Native River that won the Welsh National, won the Ladbroke Trophy, won the Gold Cup. Maybe not quite the same horse, but there was definitely a bit of enthusiasm and spring about him. And I'd say he's overpriced for a horse who's guaranteed to get the trip.
Frank, same question to you. And I suppose the other kind of caveat to the question would be, would you be taking the price now, or do you think Album Photo could be bigger on the day?
I just don't think he's a horse that captures the imagination. And I just make a couple of points here. There's not that many horses win the Gold Cup at 7 and actually get to come back and defend it. Like, I just been looking back as far as 97. You've Best Mate won at 7 in 2002, and he came back in 2003, 2004, and won his 3 Gold Cups. He was given a very similar type of prep to Album Photo, where he'd normally run in the Peterborough Chase or something like that, and then have a bit of a break and into the Gold Cup. You've Kicking King, won as a 7-year-old in 2005. He didn't get a chance to come back and defend. War of Attrition, won as a 7-year-old in 2006. He didn't get back to defend his crown. Cato Star did win it in 2007 as a 7-year-old. He was second the following year and regained for 2009. We know how exceptional he was. And then you've got Sizing John was the last horse, age 7, who won in 2017, but he didn't get back to defend his crown. Now, Album Photo won it at 7. He's won it at 8. And history can already tell you that if they can get back to defend it, that's the battle, is to get them back. And, you know, the race not to take that much out of them, that they're never the same again. That there's every chance he'll win it again. And then when you look at Best Mate and the price Best Mate was going off, Best Mate was 13-8 for his second Gold Cup. Album Photo, I think, was 100-30 when he won his. And then Best Mate was an 8-11 shot winning his third Gold Cup. Best Mate's as big as 3-1, even our 5-2. I think if he was more of, a public horse, he'd probably be more like 6-4, particularly when you look at it. Not many horses have actually thrown their hat into the ring as real credible, you know, contenders or opposition against him. I think he'll go off probably something around 9-4, 2-1, 5-2, in around that area. I think he should, realistically, I think he's more 11-8, 6-4 shot. I wouldn't be rushing to back him non-runner no bet or non-runner money back now. But I do think he's going to take an awful lot of beating. And yeah, it's an element of, he's got versatility. He won a really strongly run Gold Cup the first year. He won a tactical Gold Cup last year. And what beats him? I'm not sure there's anything better than him in the race either. Yeah, Album Photo for me. But as I said, the only reason I would be rushed to take the price, because he's not the sort of horse that the public have got behind.
I think, though, you probably want to be backing him the Sunday or Monday before, because if Willie's get on a roll and he has a lot of really well fancied horses, and if they get on a roll, whether the public are into him or not, by Gold Cup time, if Willie Mullins has rolled through the week, this fella could be some short.
Fair point.
Now, if it goes the other way, well, you can always back him again. But if they all get beaten, but if they start to roll in, you'll have missed the price. So if you don't fancy backing them 4 weeks out, I'd be certainly getting on them before racing starts on Tuesday.
Very good. Righto, time for a few quick questions before we finish. We've got three. Jerry McCarthy asks, Ruby, you've said a few times that if given the chance again, you would do a few things differently when you rode Comanche Court against Best Mate in the 2002 Cheltenham Gold Cup. What should you have done different, and would it have mattered? And what did your dad say to you afterwards?
Dad didn't say anything. Dad was delighted he ran so well. What would I have done differently? I made a decision crossing the road, heading for the home turn. Best Mate was in front of me on the inside and hadn't raced beyond 3 miles. Comanche Court had won the Irish National. I committed forward on the outside of Best Mate. to make it a stamina race. I knew I would stay. That was a question mark over Best Mate. But as I joined Seymour Business in front, he drifted right, left a gap on the inside for Best Mate to come through. And when I got to the front in Comanche Court at the second last, he propped, pricked his ears and made a mistake. If I'd only gone up onto Joe Tizzard's boot on Seymour Business, kept Joe tight to the inside, I'd have had Best Mate in the pocket. If I had company at the second last, I could have jumped it and then set sail. And you might have had a different result.
Ian Fortune asks, Frank, when having a bet on proper championship races at Cheltenham, like the Champion Hurdle and Gold Cup, what's the most important thing to take into account? In other words, trainer form, horse's record of the track, ground conditions, etc.
Pick this up in 2 ways. If it's an anti-post bet, the main thing I'm looking to do is identify a race where, you know, there's a lack of depth in it. Like the Albert Bartlett would be a Grade 1 race this year, where it's the best example I could give of where the market's really like struggling to identify certain runners. And if you can identify one and latch onto one, you're likely to be sitting on a decent docket. Now, if you're talking about more at the final declaration stage, I think the most important thing to take into consideration is just price. Like, the price is the most important thing. Like, again, we'll use Albu Foto as an example. I think he's going to win the Gold Cup, but I'd be far more inclined to have a proper bet at 3-1 than if he was 7-4. Like a 7-4, I might have a bet for, you know, for a bit of interest. But if I was getting 3-1, I might get properly stuck in.
Final question. And Brendan Hoare asks, Ruby, presenting Percy was taken out of the Cheltenham Gold Cup last week, with the Grand National now being his target. What chance do you think he has in that race? And what is Willie lining up for the National this year?
The weights are obviously out. Well, they're out, I think, this week, this Tuesday. I think we all have a very clearer picture then. I haven't saw the actual entries for the English National yet. Borough Saint will be the obvious one, the Willie's. Presenting Percy, just like to see him have a bit more of a cut at his fences. Maybe he will. Gordon Elliott has him now, but I'd like to see him be a little bit quicker through the air. He can be a little bit ponderous, and with so much jump in an entry, if you get high and you're a little bit ponderous, you just lose so much ground, and there's so many other horses to take your position, and it's a bloody nightmare, really.
Righto. Frank, before we go, you have some enhancements to tell us about, I believe.
Yeah, we're going to enhance Epitant or Honeysuckle to win the Champion Hurdle. Was 4-5. We're going to enhance that to even money. We're going to enhance Album Fova for the Gold Cup, 5-2 out to 3-1. And we're going to do a double as well. Honeysuckle to win the Champion Hurdle and Album Fova to win the Gold Cup was 10-1. We're going to enhance that out to 12-1.
Right, oh, that is all we've got time for on our Cheltenham Countdown show today. My thanks to Frank Hickey and Ruby Walsh, and of course, thanks to you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed to the show. We're back on Friday with tips for the weekend, and all those prices that Frank mentioned will be available on paddypower.com or the Paddy Power app. But between now and Friday, I've been Tom Nugent, and that was From the Horse's Mouth.